Our writing for today is from the book of 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 1 through 20. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations, rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Now we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word today, we welcome Pastor Eric Phillips, Concordia Lutheran Church, Nashville, Tennessee.
In the first chapter of his first letter to Timothy, St. Paul urges him to remain at his post in the city of Ephesus, so as to keep a lid on certain harmful doctrines that were circulating there. Myths and endless genealogies, vain discussion that set aside the basics of the Christian religion and skipped past the simple salutary goals of love and a good conscience and a sincere faith in a quest for something deeper, some secret knowledge supposedly hidden in the law of God. Paul is not impressed by the claims of the men who were promoting these ideas. Although they desire to be teachers of the law, they understand neither the things they are saying nor the confident assertions they make about those things. This isn't a problem with the law, but with their failure to understand it. The law is good, Paul says, if one uses it lawfully. There's a little pun. These false teachers were treating the law as if it were hidden revelation for men who were already righteous and looking to go to the next level of perfection. That is to say, they were treating the law as if it were not law, and this in itself was unlawful behavior. Understanding this, Paul continues, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners. And then he mentions a few specific sins that such people perform, before breaking his list off with this catch-all, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, a category that clearly includes the false teachings he has in mind. These heretical speculators approach God's law as if they are not sinners, as if it does not condemn them, and with this bad assumption in place, it makes no sense to them. They can twist it into any shape they want, extract any mythical meaning they can imagine. But to behave this way is to treat it as something other than law, and to abuse God's law in such a fashion is itself a violation of that law. In their pretense of righteousness, and their refusal to heed the law as something that condemns them, they prove that they are not righteous, and that they do stand condemned, however oblivious they may be to the fact. And then the apostle explains that this sound doctrine to which he refers can be known by how it accords with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So what is the accordance between the lawful use of the law and this glorious gospel? The apostle knew you were going to ask that question. He started telling you in the very next verse, eagerly, because it's not just the answer, it's his own testimony. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. When we let the law be lawful, when we recognize that we are condemned by it, when we stand not on the judge's side of the bench, but where we belong, with the father strikers, the mother strikers, the murderers, the fornicators, the men who practice homosexuality, the slavers, the liars, the perjurers, and acknowledge them as our kin, whether or not we share in their particular sins, then the gospel can also be gospel-y, because the gospel is good news. And the good news is mercy to sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We thank Pastor Eric Phillips for today's meditation on God's Word.